very happy birthday to Isis Phillips. And remember, wear that mask. You should wear it because you care. Democracy Now! Is produced with Renee Phelps and Mike Burke and Dina Guzder and Libby Rainey and Nermeen Sheikh and Carla Wills, Tammy Warrenoff and Tarina Nadura, Tamari Astudie, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen. Stay safe.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook. You could tell she was wearing a mask. You could tell. Good for Amy. And we're wearing masks, too, when we're outside the house, obviously. This is WUSB Stony Brook. It's time once again for another exciting edition of Off the Wall. Stay tuned. Yes, it's another edition of Off the Wall here on WUSB. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, joined tonight by Kyle.
Yes, I'm over here. Sorry, I was gathering some things here.
Is this an inconvenient time for you? You seem to have a lot going on over there.
No.
Oh my God, you have what do they call those things? Ballots, yeah, voting ballot you have.
Oh, yeah, that's what this is.
The state of Washington has once again sent you another...
Don't laugh.
No,
why are you laughing?
I don't know why I'm laughing. Maybe I'm laughing out of relief because...
No, well, let's look at that.
Democracy is still somehow alive. Well, I mean, as you can see, we don't have anything like that here in New York, not yet, not to that degree.
I will say, not enough people have this, but I'm blessed, and I enjoy, and am, I think it, I'm kind of surprised it's even an issue. It seems like a no-brainer.
This is the primary?
Yeah, this is a primary election, but
didn't you already have the primary?
I think there was another election earlier this year or late last year, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that you already had the... Because didn't Biden win? Or I don't...
Oh, no, this isn't for a federal election. This is state stuff.
You don't have them all on the same day? Okay, fine. No, whatever.
It's split up for some
reason. The
more
voting, the better.
It's maybe like, they're trying to keep the ballots very simple.
It's like Switzerland. They vote all the time. Okay, well, so, you know... we should have you vote on the air like we did once before.
Well, I have to research, which is
right.
Important. So, yeah, but Washington's been a mail voting only state, one of only a handful in the
mail
country.
Mail in, folks, not just men. I want to make sure you're not missing.
Well, let's call it absentee. In fact, as a voter, pretty much since I started voting, I've been absentee, and and what I want to say is I've been an absentee voter so long that I didn't even notice that it became mandatory.
Not been all there, yes. I think we all understand that.
No. I vote in every election, and I think it makes it a lot more comfortable and available. The process is right there in your mailbox, just like everything else. So I enjoy it. I know a lot of people who have it, and a lot of states have enjoyed it for years. So if you haven't been an absentee voter, you should really try it. It's really enjoyable process.
Absentee is the wrong word. That's what people say, but
it's a
mail-in. You're a mail-in, and you're just as much there as somebody who shows up and gets coronavirus.
Yeah, I mean, the label doesn't really matter. I'm voting. They even give you virtual stickers. You get, like, a sticker you can put on social media.
Oh, you do not.
No, they give you, yeah. You get a digital I voted sticker. This is important.
I've never gotten one of those stickers. No one's ever offered me one of those stickers. I've voted in every single election since I was 6 years old.
Oh,
I see. And I've never gotten one of these things.
And you, oh, no, that's funny. You think I'm... Gonna print you out one of my digital? No. Yeah, I'm not gonna fall in that trap again.
The thought had not crossed my mind until now, but that's
no,
a good idea.
No. You don't get one of my votes. So you got to vote, and then you get a sticker.
All right. Well, let's get to this in a moment. We have some news that we want to update people. First of all, most important news: we're still in Radiothon, and that means you can vote. Yes, folks, you can vote for your favorite radio station. Well, even if we're not your favorite radio station, you know, at least as long as you don't hate us, why not give a call to 631-632-6901 and pledge whatever you can afford to keep WUSB on the air? Because calls like that are what keep us going. And in times like this, when... Is it times like this or times like these? No, it's only one time. So
them times.
Times is plural. In
these here times,
this sort of a time, radio is extremely important. It really is. It keeps you sane.
It's keeping a lot of people company.
It keeps you company, plays some of your favorite music, and sometimes it turns you on to new music, especially at WUSB. And at other times, you might hear voices like ours saying various things that perhaps you agree with or perhaps you don't agree with.
You could even hear voices from 43 years ago.
You know, that happened. I was listening to the radio on Saturday night, which happened to be our 43rd anniversary. WUSB's 43rd anniversary, that
is. Isn't that something?
On June 27th, 1977, WUSB signed onto the FM airwaves for the first time, except for the period before that when we were testing to make sure it worked. But that's when we actually started broadcasting radio programs. And we haven't stopped since. Well, we did stop when we used to sign off at 2:30 at night. But for the most part, we've been on the air continuously since then. And it's been a rodeo. It's been great. It's been amazing. And it changed my life. Changed a lot of people's lives. Radio can do that to you. So vote for the magic, because there are so many more people still to come that will get the magic of radio. I'm so amazed by the amount of students that have gotten involved. At one time, people were afraid. They were bemoaning the fact that radio is dead and vinyl is dead and all books are dead. And, yeah, no one's going to be interested. And it's so untrue. Anytime somebody says that, they're just putting forth their own insecurities about something. But people embrace this kind of thing. People embrace broadcasting. They embrace old music, new music, old technology, new technology. It's all about learning. It's all about sharing. And if you share with us some income, that would be nice. We have monthly payment plans. We have Visa, MasterCard, American Express. We take all of that. 631-632-6901. That is how you keep WUSB going for the next 43 years. Can you imagine that? The 86th anniversary.
It'll be here sooner than we imagine, and we're just pointing out the distinction that not all radio is the same, and the unique magic here is that it's going to foster an environment where people can be creative, they can share things that are out of the ordinary and not like a lot of the corporate and commercial broadcasting mediums that really we're inundated with. This is that rare gem, so please support the station as we finish up and raise as much as possible. And every little bit of that really goes a tremendous distance for the station. It's astounding what people can put together.
Mm-hmm. 631-632-6901 or WUSB.FM. You can pledge on there as well. Imagine if you pledged $5 a month. You know, that's you wouldn't really feel that. I don't think you would feel that. That is actually $60 a year. $60 a year. Now, imagine 10 people doing that today. 10 people pledging $5 today. That's $600 in a year for us. And that actually can pay a bill. So that's really good. That's amazing. Every bit counts. So,
or it could pay for the stamps for all the bills.
Yeah, because you have to pay for stamps for bills that you pay, which I never understood.
Sometimes.
631-632-6901. Thank you. Thank you for those people calling in. A lot of people are calling in, which is so good, and it gives us such a boost. Because these are very troubling, very depressing times, but we're going to get through them by sticking together and supporting each other. So how does it feel, Kyle, to be right? Do you enjoy saying, I told you so? Do you enjoy saying, wow, you people were stupid. You didn't listen to us. And now look at what's going on. I don't think, Kyle, that's the right way to feel. I don't mean to lecture you, but I don't think smugness suits you. I don't think that holier-than-thou attitude is what we need right now. I think we need to be somewhat, supportive and sympathetic.
Magnanimous.
There you go. That's better. All right, then. Now, we're talking, of course, about the dumbasses out there walking around without masks and opening up too soon, jumping back in as if it was normal, going to bars. And we've had our share. We have our share here in New York, but we saw it en masse down south and out west, places like Florida and Texas and Georgia. And now all those numbers that had been going down are spiking, going right back up. Because, as we said, this virus hasn't changed. Nothing has changed. Why would you think, just because you decide it's over, it's going to be over? So now we're at this stage where all the work that we've done may be for nothing because of idiots that somehow thought this was a political issue, somehow thought that wearing a mask was stupid and made you look weak. And while things are good right now in New York, and things are pretty good number-wise, that's not going to last. That is not how can it last? If we're letting people come into this state from those other states where it's spiking, of course the numbers are going to spike here again, no matter how much hard work we did. We've proven that it can be extremely effective to wear masks and to practice social distancing. And if we had just done that on a larger scale, if people hadn't decided this was some challenge to their freedom by actually keeping other people from getting sick, we would be in a much better place right now. We'd be maybe like South Korea, maybe like New Zealand, maybe like Western Europe, which is opening up again, but they're keeping us out. Yeah, Americans are banned from Europe. I knew it was going to happen at some point. Didn't know what it would take, but yeah, this makes sense. Because we're a bunch of dumbasses, because we're not following common sense. Common sense. It's a virus. It's a pandemic. It's going to spread, regardless of whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, or if you like the president or don't. And I have to say, you look at those governors in those states that decided they weren't going to listen to the health professionals.
There's a lot of crow eating.
They're not eating nearly enough of it. They should be choking on it. But honestly, those people are guilty. They're guilty of murder. That might sound harsh, but if it's your relative that dies as a result of people not keeping safe distances and practicing basic health protocols, and they got that message from their governor, yeah, guilty. And those governors got the message from Trump, who made it very difficult for them to go in a different direction. People in this administration walking around, not wearing masks, going to mass rallies, acting as if it just doesn't apply to them. That message resonates. If you confront somebody, and I don't advise that you do it because it never ends well, but if you do confront somebody who's not wearing a mask and say, why in God's name aren't you wearing a mask? At some point, Trump is going to come up. And they will say, well, if he says, I don't need to wear a mask, then I don't need to wear a mask. I trust him. I believe him. Guilty. Guilty of murder. Hundreds of thousands of people will die as a result of that. More people than all the terrorist acts in the world combined. Because of one man. And I'm sorry, but that is not somebody worthy of being in the office that he currently occupies. And I support anything that will get him out of there. And yeah, Election Day is great, but I don't know if we're going to survive until Election Day at this rate. They're talking 100,000 cases. What was the number I saw? At some point, the numbers don't even make sense anymore. 100,000 new cases a day? That's what we're looking at? Can you even put your mind around that? 100,000 new infections every day. That's a million every 10 days.
I didn't hear that. What was... That's the prediction by end of summer, or by, like...
That's what... I believe Fauci said that in his Senate testimony or House testimony. They're always testifying someplace.
Mm-hmm. No, he's done it 2 days in a row. I think once in the House and once in the Senate.
And, you know, I like the guy. I respect the guy, but he is not strong enough as far as saying what these leaders are doing is wrong. He's trying to be too nice. And by being nice, yeah, he's keeping his job, but he's also kind of letting them get away with it. Saying, yeah, you know, you really should do this, instead of saying, don't do that. What this guy over here is doing, who's standing next to me, not wearing a mask, don't do that. He's a dumbass. Don't listen to him. Yeah, he'd be out the door, but people might get the message. It's weird, though. I'm looking at the numbers right now on CNN. You know, there are these milestones. I think that they all happen on the same day. We reached 10 million total cases globally, 500,000 deaths globally. 2.5 million cases in the United States and 125,000 deaths in the United States, which is an eighth of a million.
127.
Well, now it's 127, but I'm saying we hit 125.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. All those numbers, all those milestones we hit on the same day, which is, I don't know if that's a math thing, that if you have this kind of pandemic going on, those numbers will all kind of...
They correlate, yeah.
They do correlate, but it's just kind of weird how that happened. I don't know if anybody else noticed that. But I do want to say, we've been wandering around, of course, observing social distancing. Today, we drove through Port Jefferson, noticed almost everybody was wearing a mask. I was very happy about that. It's weird. It seems to go in tides. Stupid people, smart people. And if you go there on a weekend, you'll see a lot of stupid people that somehow think it doesn't apply to them, that they can go out and have fun, and they'll be perfectly all right. That's not the way it works. Now, I wanted to know, how do you report? How do you report these violations? When you see crowds of people milling around without any kind of protection, without maintaining social distancing, when you see an ice cream shop, I'm not going to name names, but a particular ice cream shop in Port Jefferson where crowds of people mill around without protection, what do you do? Who do you tell? Well, don't call 911. Don't advise that. But there is a phone number you can call. It's not the easiest number to remember, but I think we need to remember it. Ready? 1-833-789-0470. I don't know what they were thinking when they got that phone number. You can't even spell anything because it has two zeros in it. But if we can just kind of memorize it, try to memorize it, write it down places, and call it. 1-833-789-0470. That is the New York State PAWS Enforcement Assistance Task Force. And, yeah, even that name is hard to remember. Report violations of social distancing, and, of course, photos and video are welcome. But that's what we have to do. I don't like doing that. But we're talking about people's lives at risk here. This is not just a cold. This is not something that will pass, that we can laugh over. This is actually going to kill people a lot more than it has already, a lot more. Read up on the pandemic, 1918, 1919. See how the second wave is what really killed people. I just realized. This is 2020. It's 1919.
It's about 100 years.
Do you think every time it's a repeating number, was there a pandemic in 1818? Will there be one in 2121?
Whoa.
I might have found some other numerology thing happening, but, well...
Or just bad programming in the Matrix. Again.
Do you get that sometimes?
No, they're using Java.
No, seriously. This is a thing, because I think... I'm not going to say that there is a Matrix-type thing going on, but I do think... There is randomization that is broken in certain places. And I'll tell you what I mean. There is a road that has a big pothole in the middle of it. And we always try to drive around the pothole so that we don't hit it. And you can only do that, obviously, if there's no car coming in the other direction. And I've noticed almost every time there's a car coming in the other direction that will pass that pothole right at that time so that we can't do this. Is there a car 100 feet before that, 100 feet after that? No, it's always in the same place. It's always in the same place. And do you remember when we used to drive into the radio station and we'd park in the parking lot? Massive parking lot. Nobody around except for that one pedestrian who happens to be crossing the entrance to the parking lot right when we're pulling in. Happens every time. Is there a pedestrian 100 feet in front of them, 100 feet in back of them? No, never. Always just right where we want to go. So something needs upgrading in randomization that affects us.
Metaphysical randomization.
I don't know who's in charge. I don't know who can fix this. I'm just pointing it out. Consider it a bug report. I don't know.
Yes, escalate.
If you've noticed something like that, let us know. We'd like to hear your observations. otw@2600.com. Do you know there was a massive pro-police rally in Port Jefferson the other day?
No.
A week ago yesterday. It's one of those Monday afternoon rallies. They had 1,500 people on that corner that was used for the anti-gun rally, Wisconsin Highway and Route 112. Yeah, they I just found out about this today, actually. 1,500 people lined the Wisconsin Highway and Port Jefferson Station to show their support for men and women in blue. For 3 hours in 90-degree heat on June 22nd, people from across Long Island brought their black and blue flags. You know, if black and blue is your color, you got to ask yourself, am I maybe doing something wrong? Am I maybe worshiping the wrong thing? How black and blue is the cop color? Come on, people. It couldn't be any clearer. No. It's not right.
That's an intelligence, like, litmus test right there.
Pick another color, at least. Anyway, so, yeah, all these people gathered, and it's weird how we didn't hear about it. And before we say, oh, my God, there's so many, yeah, it was an island-wide thing, so they all kind of gathered in one place, whereas Black Lives Matter, they're having rallies everywhere, all over the place.
In a more distributed way.
Uh-huh. But I was looking at pictures of the people there, and, you know, I have nothing against the sentiment, support anybody, but don't support bad people. Don't support bad behavior. And that's what's being talked about here. People who are really, really bad and killing people, and you know what? They're pretty much already supported with the armament they have, with the fraternal order of police that they have that back them up no matter what they do. They don't really need support like unarmed civilians who are being terrorized need support. I don't know why people have problems with that. That's all that's being asked for here. Nobody in the Black Lives Movement believes that all lives don't matter. I keep hearing that idiocy, that you have to say all lives matter. The fact that all lives matter is the premise, is why we have to say Black Lives Matter, because clearly they don't. So as long as Black Lives don't matter, all lives certainly don't matter. It's a false equivalency. And when you ridicule it by saying, oh, I don't care if you're polka dot, you're totally missing the point. You're not listening. You're not looking at the facts, at what's happening to people. There are no polka dot people out there. There are black people out there that are living in fear constantly from as soon as they can walk outside. You ever think about that?
Yeah, and polka dot people are certainly not getting effing murdered.
Yeah, just don't bring up polka dot people. Don't say blue lives matter. Blue is not a race. Blue is not something you're born as. It's a career choice. Imagine how silly you would sound if you said that transmission mechanics' lives matter. Yeah, they do. We know that. We don't need a damn parade for it. And you can't identify a transmission mechanic by the color of their skin. So, yeah, they had their rally last Monday. And if you looked at the pictures, almost all of them weren't wearing masks. What is up with that? If you're in a rally of people and most of them are not wearing masks, you're in the wrong rally.
Yeah, if you don't wear them anywhere else, that's the one place you probably ought to pull out something and create that barrier.
If I was in that Black Lives Matter march that we were in the other week, and I noticed people around us weren't wearing masks, I would say, no, this is not something I support.
The idea
I support, but I don't support this march going through streets with people that obviously don't have enough sense to get through the day. No, everybody there was conscientious, and they wanted to protect the people around them, even those people that were shouting at them, shouting hateful things. That's the difference. If you find yourself in a group of people that can't even do that, odds are they're not really thinking through other things that are important. Just saying. Hey, Biden was on TV earlier. Did you see him?
Yeah, he has done several of these speeches, and he always does it in front of the red and white stripes. And it reminds me of Patton. because of the film.
Red and white, you mean the flag?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, the striped part of the flag sort of hangs vertically, so when you see when you see the speech, he just has red and white bars behind him, and it's exactly like the speech in Patton, which we watched and discussed at length here on Off the Wall. But I just think it's a little funny. There's sort of his, like, rallying the troops speeches to face Trump and or the lack thereof.
Well, what do you think?
He said he surrendered. Our wartime president surrendered. That was one of the comments from the speech. I think he's right to step into this moment because it feels like a bit of a vacuum. There's not much good to say from the president. Is it infrastructure week? Have we got new roads, trains?
It's disgraceful what we're seeing.
I don't think he has nothing up his sleeve. I mean, there's nothing really to talk about.
Just a lot of defensiveness.
A lot. Hostility.
And just not paying attention to what's actually going on, what we can all see going on. And, even if you're a supporter of this guy, how does that not make you feel uneasy that he's not addressing issues that are literally killing people around us? It's just so wrong. So Biden, I was actually looking at Fox News for a little bit because I like to see what they're saying sometimes.
Oh, what are they?
Well, their angle on this was that Biden has not had a press conference in 89 days.
Oh,
and
right.
They tried to make it sound like he somehow, by doing exactly the right thing and staying inside, not going to rallies and things like that, that he's hiding something.
Well, he's weak because he's senescent or something.
It's ridiculous. So anyway, the question was raised as to whether or not he would go for the three debates. Of course, he's very into having debates. Somebody asked him about his cognitive abilities. Biden said the president talks about cognitive capability, but he is not cognitively aware of what's going on. It basically, Trump spends a lot of time trying to make fun of how Biden talks, his stuttering, his using the wrong words sometimes. In February, Biden said he's been struggling all his life to overcome stuttering, and his defenders have argued that this sometimes may be a factor in his widely publicized history of stumbling words. I just, it's the thought that matters to me, not the clumsiness of the words. Yeah, I wish he were a better orator, a better enunciator. I wish I was.
Public speaking is difficult, and I think just speaking, thinking before you speak, and really having a lot of ability in your speech, I think itself formulating things is difficult, especially on the spot. We talk about that in doing radio all the time, but to think back on how many times I've perhaps put my foot in my mouth or said the wrong thing just in everyday conversation or said things I didn't really mean. I mean, I commend people who cannot feel uncomfortable or wish they hadn't quite articulated the way they had. Mm-hmm. And I know that's exact. I mean, he has a disposition for that in his own unique way, as we all do, I think.
Yeah, the question is, what's the thought behind it? What were you actually getting at? And in Biden's case, while I might not be a big fan of how he says it, I think I'm going to like what he wants to say or what he wants to do. Whereas with Trump, I'm in shocked horror when I see what he is going for, when I see the defense of racist and Nazis and just not paying attention to what's actually happening, blaming other people, demonizing, instilling fear. And it's scary. It's scary. That's not a question of saying the wrong words. That's not a question of stuttering. So for those people that delight in making fun of handicaps or just somebody who doesn't agree with everything you say or say it in exactly the right way, think of the alternative. Think of what we're going to have if this continues. And then think of all the things that we could have if it doesn't. And we're seeing a taste of that. We're seeing a taste of revolution in the air. We're seeing those statues topple. Hey, the Mississippi flag, they're finally getting rid of that Mississippi flag. I've been going on about that forever. And just like that, the Republican governor is signing a bill to get rid of that Confederate flag that they have had for over 100 years. That is amazing. Statues are coming down. These are good things. These are really good things. I know there are people that say, oh, it's horrible. We're tearing down our culture.
No.
There are some things that you should not embrace. Remember them for sure. Absolutely. In the history books, in the museums. But there is no reason in the world you have to honor people that did evil things. And I know judging past times by present standards can be a bit hypocritical. But I think when we're talking about things like slavery, yeah, that's something that you had to know that wasn't right. You had to know. And even if everybody around you was doing it, still isn't an excuse. So, yeah, you know, you were a part of history, and fine. Maybe you built a highway or did something memorable that helped build the country, but you still did some bad things, and we're not going to have a statue. We're gonna just cut ourselves off from honoring you as a person and maybe honor your achievements that helped improve in other ways. But no reason in the world we need to have a statue. I'm thinking William Floyd, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, owned slaves. Why do we have a highway named after him? Why do we have a school district named after him? We can do better than that. He had his time. He existed. He's in the history books. But there are so many people that we could name that highway after who deserve it more. And the school district. So, yeah, things are changing. We're seeing amazing changes out there. And if you have somebody who stands for something different, even if it's not perfect, you still will have a woman's right to choose. You still will have protection for gay and lesbian, health care, all kinds of things that are under threat right now won't be under threat anymore, or certainly not to the extent they are right now. So it does make a difference, a huge difference.
Trans people, immigrants, mm-hmm. The list goes on and on.
I just don't know where to apply the attention. There's so much. It's horrible. It's really horrible.
And we've definitely heard for 4 years about the magical way that Donald Trump speaks, and I think a lot of people are sort of over it. But if there's any question about the way Biden speaks, just go ahead and cite that, you know what, he speaks magically too.
I can forgive.
You know what? Y'all seem pretty happy defending Trump with that.
I can forgive how people speak, but not how people think.
Yeah,
and the way Trump thinks, that is the scary part.
Yeah, who they're being to society or to the office, and what their actions really, really are.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody know this sound? I know what it is. You might know what it is, but don't say it if you do.
I think I do.
All right. Well, if you know what it is, write to otw@2600.com and tell us, and next week we'll say your name on the air. And if nobody writes in, I'll be surprised. You'll have a really puzzled look on your face, Kyle. But don't say what you think it is, otherwise you'll ruin it.
Okay, I won't.
After the show you can say it when the microphone's off. Shall we vote? Or shall you vote?
Oh, yeah.
You got this huge piece of paper.
Well, it's huge for a really funny reason. There, do you want to guess?
Seven.
How many?
42.
No. Three. How many U.S. Congressional representatives for this one district there are?
I thought you got one per district. Isn't that
Yeah, there's a bunch running.
Okay.
This is a trick question.
I feel tricked already.
Yeah.
You're asking me how many representatives, this is for Congress, U.S. Congress,
yeah,
are in a district.
Just
I have to say one because there's one per district.
No. How many candidates is what I mean?
Oh, how many people are running for the same seat? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's a representative, right? Or a senator.
Yeah, just a representative.
Washington State. I'm surprised it's only on one piece of paper. I'm going to say 30.
Okay, no, you're wrong.
I figured I would be.
There's four.
Four?
Yeah, see, that was the test. That was a good test. Now let's talk about the governor.
It wasn't a test. That was a trick.
You remember Jay Inslee?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I don't know him personally.
Well,
but
what do you know him for?
I know him for running for president.
And what was his thing?
Big loser. His thing was sucking up to Amazon, or was it attacking Amazon? I forget which it was. You know, I can't tell.
Protecting the Amazon.
No, we didn't do that. Unless you mean the company.
Well, climate change.
Right,
that was
fine.
His thing, right?
That was his thing. Okay, yeah. He did that.
Yeah, and what has he been doing? He's been maintaining control or the stay safe, stay home orders in Washington, and, you know, a strong leader. And you'd think, well, obviously the state is going to see him again because he's championed the people. He's seen us through. He's a slam dunk, right?
I wouldn't say that in Washington, but sure, why not?
Well, you'd be wrong again.
Okay, but I didn't say
your first instinct that you didn't say actually was right. He's going to have a little competition this go-round.
Okay, so he's got 30 people running against him.
Yes, he does. He has 36. Should I count it again? I know it's well over 30.
Why don't we just go through some of the candidates? And well, are they all from different parties?
There's some overlap. I can skim through and read some of these parties.
Give us some of them.
Or do you want names? Just parties or names?
Names and parties, as long as none of the names are words we can't use, which I fully expect from Washington.
All right. I'll jump around a little bit. So there's Martin L. Iseman Wheeler.
Wait, where does his name end? Iseman?
Martin L. Iseman, and that's in
quotes.
Quotes, Wheeler. So he's got his nickname in there.
I want to know why he's called Iseman.
He's the Iseman. Prefers Republican Party, so I'm thinking he might be a, you know, customs and immigration type.
What do you mean prefers Republican Party? I mean,
that's his party, yeah.
His party is Republican.
Yeah,
okay.
I was getting to the first one, okay. Yeah. Okay. So I'll go through. Alex Zimmerman.
Okay.
Prefers the Stand Up America Party.
Stop saying prefers. Tell us what party it is.
He's from the Stand Up America Party.
Okay.
Phil Fortunato. Republican,
uh-huh.
Ryan Riles, unaffiliated party, Leon Aaron Lawson, the Trump Republican Party.
Wait, what?
Leon Aaron Lawson, Trump Republican
Party. That's what
party.
It's called, the Trump Republican Party?
Yeah, it's like a modifier to just make sure, in case it wasn't clear, none of those moderate Republicans, they want their flavor.
Yeah, but how... Okay. Apparently,
it's a variation of the party, because that's his take. That's what it says.
Does anyone say non-Trump Republican Party?
I mean, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, here we go. Nate Herzog.
Nate Herzog. Okay.
You might like him. He's pre-2016 Republican Party.
Oh, I like that. I mean, I don't like that, but I like that somebody is making the distinction.
You might be able to talk to him. You know, maybe pass some bills or something.
Counterfeit bills?
No, legislation. Okay, so...
Sorry.
What do we got? David Volz, the Cascadia Labor Party.
Cascadia Labor Party.
Joshua Wolf.
So, wait, Cascadia,
what?
That's the region? That's what it's called out there?
Oh, yeah, that's if the largest economies in the U.S. mm-hmm. secede, that's California and, measured by GDP, Washington.
Uh-huh. And Oregon.
That's assuming there were airplane orders. There's not really airplane orders
you
right
gotta
now.
You've got to get Oregon.
Yeah, they make, microchips?
They're part of the region, so you have to have...
I don't know.
And don't you get British Columbia, too?
Yeah, BC would be in there, too. So Cascadia would basically be that entire western coast, and it would... They have a flag, and there's, you know, just like other... southern areas and regions have talked about seceding.
That would be a really cool post-apocalyptic country, Cascadia. I could see people basically doing all kinds of things in the mud.
A lot of camping. Tent cities, uh-huh. tent suburbs, tent, uh-huh. You name it.
A lot of beards, too. Everyone would have a beard.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely out-of-control beards. A lot of cold brew coffee,
Who else
too.
Wants to run Washington
sorry,
State?
Sorry. We got Bill Hurt, Republican, Richard L. Carpenter, Republican, Lauren Culp, Republican.
A lot of Republicans.
Joshua Wolf, New Liberty Party.
New Liberty.
Joshua Fried, the Republican Party. Jay Inslee.
Oh, he's running.
Yeah, he's in here. I found him. Democrat Party.
Wait,
Democratic Party. Excuse me.
Does it say Democrat or Democratic?
Democratic.
All right. Again, folks, when you hear people say Democrat Party, they've drunk the Kool-Aid. Move on. It's too late for
Elena J. Gonzalez.
Hang on.
Wait, I'm trying to get through this.
Don't make me take that from you.
That's illegal. So, that would be a violation.
Yeah, voter intimidation. I know. Jay Inslee is just right there in the middle, not even at the top or the bottom.
He's like six from the bottom.
So you have to hunt him down on the ballot to be able to vote for him.
Yeah, I don't think this is in any kind of alphabetic order. I'm not actually sure how it's organized.
The work you have to do to vote is I'm impressed by it.
But because I'm not under pressure and I can do it from my my office or my kitchen table or my recording studio.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot easier. I can take my time. I can use my microscope and fill the bubbles out. Can I just get to Elena J. Gonzalez,
Wait, Kyle,
Cairo,
hold on. The
Cairo
return,
D'Almeida?
The return address on that is Russia, it looks like.
What? No.
Yeah, now foreign countries
I'm told foreign countries print
these ballots and mail them to you.
That is wrong.
And I don't know how they would benefit from that in any way.
Lies.
No? Is that not accurate?
No.
Okay.
No.
So this actually did come from Washington
State.
That's
all lies. So, there's a lieutenant governorship, secretary of state, treasurer, auditor, attorney general.
Do they all have a huge amount of people running?
No, not nearly as many.
Okay.
Precinct, yeah, okay. There's a fair amount of things going on. A lot of important races. That's why it's important to vote in the primary. Cairo D'Almeida, Democrat, Ian Gonzalez, Cregan M. Newhouse, Anton...
Governors again? Governor candidates?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. No party preference for that. No party preference for Craig Campbell either. Anton Sakharov, the Trump Republican Party again.
Wait. Two people running for the Trump Republican Party?
For the same governorship, yeah. Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Here's another one. David W. Bromstrom, Fifth Republic Party.
Fifth Republic Party.
I don't know what that is.
That's what we should do. We should start calling it the Republic Party instead of the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Just to annoy them.
Cameron M. Vesey, no party preference. Dylan B. Nails, Independent Party. Matthew Murray, Republican.
This isn't a primary because you can vote in all these different parties. It's not like you're just getting the Democratic candidates or the Republican candidates. You're getting all the candidates. This isn't the general election, though, is it? What is this? Because wouldn't that be in November where the governor is running for office?
Well, every state has different processes, and the language might be somewhat distinct or mean something different to different areas,
mm-hmm.
and they would maybe perhaps define the races in different ways. So this particular one is an official primary and special election.
So in your primaries, you can vote for different parties. I mean, I love that. Because
I'm
an independent.
I'm not
in any party. I refuse to be in any party. But that means I can't vote at all until the general election.
That's
and by
right.
by that time, I don't have a list like this. I have two people.
Right.
I never have a say.
Right. Yeah, I like this system better because I think it encourages more participation. You're more active in the process, and they count all the votes all the time. At every single election.
Do I see your name on there? I mean, you can definitely participate.
You could write me in. No, I could write myself
in. But you could get your name on that list pretty easily, I think.
Maybe. I think that's what a lot of people do. Here we got Brian R. Weed, no party preference.
Oh, come on. He's with the Weed Party. He's
got
to be.
Thor Amundsen from the Independent Party. Gene Hart from the Democratic. William Bill Miller, American Patriot Party.
Of course. With a name like William Miller, you have to be on the Patriot Party.
Oh, good Space Guy's back. Oh, what
does that mean?
Good Space Guy.
Good Space... Is that his name?
Yeah, that's his name.
That's the name he's running under.
Yeah, Good Space Guy.
And what party...
All one word.
What party, pray tell, is he in?
Trump Republican Party.
What a lost opportunity that is.
You know, I can't say I'm surprised. That's about it. That's as many of the crazy parties. There's many other names on here. I'll get to this.
They could have a lot more fun with the party names. Monty Python with the Silly Party and all kinds of other crazy names. It looks like they're halfway there.
There's a little bit of that. Tyler Grow. I mean, come on. And Weed.
But the parties that they're affiliated with were
Republican.
Yeah, come on. You can do better than that.
Brian R. Weed, no party preference. That's typical. Anybody named Weed would say that. Okay, mm-hmm. Anyway, enough voting for this show. But it's coming up. There's a lot of that going on in the country. Everybody is on Tinder hooks.
So when are you going to vote? And when do you have to vote?
Not right now. That's a violation of the FCC rules.
No, it's not true. You voted on the air before.
Well, I have to look at some of the voter guides.
And how do you do that? Do all these people have websites that you can find easily?
I choose an independent publication that has...
The Stranger. You read The Stranger.
I do read The Stranger. Uh-huh.
The Stranger is great. I wish we had a Stranger here that would tell you, using all kinds of obscenities, who you should vote for and who you should not vote for. I think it's brilliant.
Wasn't the Village Times kind of like
the
that?
The Village Voice.
The Village Voice.
Not the Village Times is our Village local Times. Newspaper, but yeah. If only the Village Times was like that. Wow.
That would be kind of cool.
But yeah, the Village Voice, I miss them dearly. And you know what? Someone should bring them back because we need newspapers. And online, offline, we need voices like this.
But the county sends out their own voters' guide, which all the candidates have statements in them. So no doubt their voter guide. And if it's not printed, it's probably online. So I could look at the county's voter guide as well, where I'd see all of those crazy people for the governorship there.
The ease with which you're able to do this in New York, but a native of Washington State, you're able to get your ballot sent to you. You're able to mail it back. You're able to vote, participate fully. I don't understand how anyone is afraid of that or thinks that's tantamount to some kind of abuse of the electoral process.
Well, it's supposed to work that way. It should be like that. And prior to the current circumstances, that enabled me to do the kinds of things I do for work, and some of that involves traveling and being all over the world. And for a lot of people who do the same kind of work, that is an opportunity for them to be a lot less tied down to some gymnasium somewhere or something. And that it's practical in a lot of ways. And current circumstances aside, it was a convenience I think a lot of people appreciated, especially people with maybe, how should I say, less physically geographically dependent jobs, like
right.
People working in factories for the same factory for 50 years, if that's even possible these days, may not be as concerned. But people that are going through many different jobs, or maybe people that are self-employed or independent, they need to have that kind of versatility. And I think people who aren't working need it as well. If you're in a care facility of some kind, or you can't, you're not ambulatory, you can't move around very easily, programs that enable you to participate and voice the kinds of interests and get people leading our states and our country, people that actually hear your interests, that should be a positive thing all around. So, and in safe ways, not, really shoddy electronic ways, paper ballots and verification processes and resilient systems state by state are so crucial and ever more crucial now.
It's definitely a paper trail there, which is a good thing. So, yeah, a lot of things to look forward to. We have elections, all kinds of political things on the horizon that are going to be unique and different and controversial. We've been extremely busy with getting our conference organized. The Hope Conference is taking place online in a virtual environment. Our deadline for speakers and workshops was yesterday, and I have to say we have more of those than any conference we've ever done in the past, which I think is incredible. This virtual conference is really turning into something that I didn't anticipate as far as the overall size and just representation from around the world, which is exactly what we were hoping for. And we're going to be really, really focused on that in the weeks ahead. We're not on tomorrow on the other radio show yet again, so we can't really talk about it there. But we can say that if you are interested in the conference, go to www.hope.net, and all the information will be posted there. What else do we have to look forward to this year? I have something. Hurricane Kyle is coming this year.
Yeah, are you ready for Hurricane Kyle?
Hurricane Kyle, that's one of the names. And, you tell us what you have planned. I'm looking forward to it.
Nah, natural disaster never spills their intentions.
When I saw that, I realized, this is, 2020 is just going to keep giving, isn't it?
You know, I've been described as a natural disaster.
Many times, yes. And Toxic Waste Zone, I believe. All sorts
Superfund site. that was my nickname.
But you know, this is not the first Hurricane Kyle. There was a Hurricane Kyle in 2002.
Oh.
It was the fifth longest-lived Atlantic tropical or subtropical cyclone on record. Yeah. How about that?
That's exciting.
There was one indirect fatality.
Oh. Well.
So somebody was making a phone call saying, make sure you close the window and didn't look where he was going afterwards and got hit by a car. I don't know. I don't know how that happened, but areas affected: Bermuda, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, and the British Isles. And that, again, was in 2002. And then there was another Hurricane Kyle more recently in 2008. Yeah. And that one resulted in 8 fatalities. So Hurricane Kyles are getting more deadly. That affected Puerto Rico, Hispaniola, Bermuda, New England, Atlantic Canada, and southeastern Quebec. And
it was only 3 years after Katrina, too.
That's true. And not only that, but there have been Tropical Storm Kyle, 1996, formed in the Western Caribbean, made landfall over Guatemala and Honduras as a weakening storm, causing no significant damage. That was 1996. So as you can see, as the years progress, Kyle is getting more and more dangerous.
Well, hold on.
Significant damage in 1996, one indirect fatality in 2002, and 8 direct fatalities in 2008. What will Hurricane Kyle 2020 bring us, I wonder? I don't think laughing is the appropriate response to that. This is serious. I would always laugh.
No, the evidence is just so damning. What do I say?
And if that's not enough for you,
hyperbolic times.
If that's not enough for you, Typhoon Kyle.
Oh, stop.
In the Western Pacific Ocean. Yeah, Typhoon Kyle 1990. Typhoon Kyle in 1993. It struck the Philippines and Vietnam. So you're dangerous.
I'm not. No, just reel it in a little bit. Perhaps Hurricane Kyle will be, pleasant and sort of a cheery storm.
I love hurricanes, but I don't think most people would describe a hurricane as pleasant.
It'll be mild. It'll be a little storm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
A little storm. Well, we'll see. We'll see. What are we up to now? How many storms have we had so far? Three?
Three,
four?
I think.
Okay.
I'm not... Oh, I should have researched. I'm sorry. We're probably on the third or fourth. I can't remember which one. Naming-wise.
Well, we're going to keep up to date on that, and that's something to watch over this summer, too, which I think will be so
nature
much fun.
Nature is out there. We've been under attack with some bugs eating the sunchoke crop we've referred to, so it's all around us. The locusts and the cicadas might come out all at once. It's going to be, epic and...
We'll have so much more to update people on that in the weeks ahead, obviously. For now, though, we have to go. Please call 631-632-6901 and pledge whatever you can. Go to WUSB.FM, pledge your support, mention Off the Wall. We get approval ratings when that happens. And write to us, otw@2600.com. Identify the mystery tune or just give us your feedback. We'd love to hear it. Hey, one of the most fun things that I experience is finding that Beatles song that I didn't know existed and listening to the new Abbey Road collection. It's not really a Beatles song. It's more like a Paul McCartney demo, but it could have been on Abbey Road. Easily this song could have been on Abbey Road. It was actually written for another singer who turned it into a hit. So you might have heard a different version of the song. But what's interesting about it is that Paul McCartney is singing this, and the second half of the song, it's kind of like a gay love ballad. Yeah, because he says he instead of she. I don't know if he realized what he was doing, or maybe he was sending a signal. You decide. We'll be back next week. Till then, stay safe, wear those masks, and...
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride. The last day of June. Good night.
Please don't wake me up too late. Tomorrow comes hit me now and linger on my mind. Leave your flowers at my door, I leave them for the one who waits behind. Goodbye, 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 goodbye.